Good morning, church. It's good to be together as God's people in this house of grace as we gather to worship. My name is Rockford Johnson. I'm senior pastor, and it's a joy to serve with you as we accomplish this mission of reaching out to the world, to Norman, to people around us, to bring hope and good news. Remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we gather today, of course, the ushers are passing the connection pads, and we appreciate you leaving your name, and that helps people newer to the church see who's around us, and we get to know each other better and better that way. If this is your first time with us, we have a welcome card, and we would appreciate it if you might fill that out and leave it with one of our greeters at either door as you exit and receive a gift bag from us. We're glad you're among us, and we appreciate your presence. Let us know how we can pray with you. If you're online with us today, pardon me, you can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and click on or tap on the red prayer request button and let us know how we can be in prayer with you. And if you're here, of course, you can fill out the cards or go to the website as well, and we appreciate you doing that because we want to pray for and with you. We have many opportunities, and you can find those on our website, mcfarlandumc.org. Go to About and jump in, and you'll find all kinds of things that are happening here at McFarland. Today, I want to introduce to you Andrew Root, who is here to speak to us. And I'm just really happy, come on up, Andrew, for him to be here. He's professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's a sought-after speaker at conferences, colleges, and churches, of course, like ours. And his book, Faith Formation in a Secular Age, inspired me and us to invite him here to inform us and to enrich us and our ministry. His coming is funded by McFarland's Jane and Herb Hengst Lecture Series, in partnership also with the School of Religion at Oklahoma City University. He'll be there tomorrow afternoon and evening. Andy is known for an engaging style that laces together stories and theological depth and some humor, and he has lectured and presented all over the world, including South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and across Europe. He's often mentioned as one of the leading scholars in both youth ministry and practical theology and ministry for churches in the world. He has published 16 books. How can you do that by this age already? I don't understand that. He has said, my concern is to discuss how real people, whether young or old, experience the living presence of God. His unique theological effort is to see all of theology through the lens of ministry, particularly exploring God's own action and presence and being as fundamentally ministry. And so there's a trilogy of books that he wrote about ministry in a secular age, and in that he explores the challenges of ministry, offers theological and ministerial responses to that, and he is a faithful interpreter of historical and cultural realities of the ministry and practices of the church and of sacred scripture. And I believe he's prophetic, calling followers of Jesus and churches to learn how to be faithful in an increasingly secular age. He will be with many of our staff tomorrow for several hours, and we will engage to be better equipped as leaders around these topics. And I've read all three of those books, found them very insightful and helpful and practically helpful in many ways. So I'm looking forward to hearing him again. He'll be here at 4 p.m. in Finn Hall this afternoon. And if you're online with us, and if you want to join with us through a Zoom link this evening, we have a page for you as you exit. So if you want that Zoom link to take home with you, see one of the persons at either door who has this page for you today. You can take it home with you. It has the Zoom ID number. And if you're online, I can't really hand you this page, although I'd like to, but you may email me at rjohnson@mcfarlandumc.org or go to our website and find that email, and I will be sure that you get that ID number if you email me before 4 p.m. So, Andy, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Give us a word of greeting.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. I really look forward to being with those of you who can make it at 4 o'clock. I know that, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon, but I hope you can come and we'll have a real significant engagement on what it means to be faithful as the church in a secular age. So I hope you come. And I do have video clips this afternoon. So if you need some TV, you can come at 4 o'clock. So thank you all.
Thank you.
We had a wonderful gathering in the Sunday school hour, and a good group of people, and it was informative and even a bit entertaining. So I invite you to come and be with me and us at 4 p.m. today. Would you stand to sing today our hymn 369, Blessed Assurance? Join me in the litany of love that's printed in the bulletin that you have. God reaches out to us in love, invited to be fully known and free from fear. God reaches out to us in grace, invited to receive and believe. God reaches out to us in peace, invited to act for peace with righteousness. God reaches out to us in hope. We are invited to come and see. God reaches out to us in love, and we are invited to love and be loved. We commit to love God with our whole being and to love others as ourselves. You may be seated. Before we pray, I want to say a word of gratitude for J.R. Mayonga, who's preaching for us today. Many of you, most of you know him, but if you don't, and if you're online and you don't know him, he is a student at Bright Divinity School, a ministry student, and is also an intern here at McFarland. And we've known him for some time and love him, and he's an excellent student. He's also a fine preacher, and he has a great message to bring for us today. I've heard it already, and I know. So I'm looking forward to hearing him again. JR, we're glad you're preaching for us today. Let's pray. O Lord of the universe, God of all that we see and cannot see, of all we fail to see and even sometimes refuse to see, we believe that you watch us in our skeptical moments. We believe that you observe us when we act with confidence. Sometimes we may be uncomfortable when we realize you are aware of us in all our ordinary activities, realizing how often we are unaware of your presence, how we hunker down in fear and then doubt that you are still around, or sometimes secretly wish you were not around, at least not too close. Forgive us and correct our sight. Remove the cataracts of our easy assumptions and lazy conclusions. We want to recognize you among us in our friends and our families, in our ministries and our questions. We want to see, and we pray to see, the evidence of your hands at work in our lives, our families, our work, and our world. Yearning for your help, now we name our private and particular concerns in this moment. O Lord of grace and God of possibility, we want to hear your voice. At least we want to hear you. You know we may be reticent or wary that you might call us to change or grow or sacrifice, that you might point us away from our preferences. We believe. Help our unbelief. We do love you. We desire what you offer. We love that you love us. Promise us peace and joy and wisdom and hope. We love your forgivingness. We love your nearness. But we don't always enjoy loving others. Again, forgive us. We also know friends and family who, like us, have not stayed in love with you sometimes. And we pray that they and we might have experiences of grace. Those moments, even in this time together, when doubt is disturbed and faith is exclaimed again and new. Hear our hearts as we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 363, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? 363.
that the world around us is changing. Church is changing. But one of the things that I find is a great blessing and I'm very thankful for is your consistent and constant giving, allowing us to really live into this idea that we can change the world, that we can change lives. Through our ministries and our missions, we really are making a difference here and around the world. And it is because when we enter into this time of giving, you take that seriously. So thank you very much. Whether you choose to give in the sanctuary, those online, you can give through our app or our website, or you can drop a check in the mail. Thank you for what you do. You may be seated. You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Hear now these words. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nail, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
David said, "I was happy when I was told to go to the house of the Lord." So we should be happy this morning because we are in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to be thankful to the leadership of this church for giving me the opportunity to share with you the word of God this morning. And I want to be thankful as well to each and every one of you for supporting me. I truly appreciate it. May God continue to bless you. Before I get started, I'm going to sing a prayer. And it's a Swahili song. I hope you're gonna enjoy it.
Wewe ni Mungu, mtuliza mawimbi, haufananishwi na kitu kingine, haufananishwi na kitu kingine. Unafanya mambo ambayo mwanadamu hawezi kufanya. Unatoa faraja ambayo mwanadamu hawezi kutoa. Unatoa upendo ambayo mwanadamu hawezi kutoa. Unatoa amani ambayo mwanadamu hawezi kutoa. Haufananishwi na kitu kingine. Haufananishwi na kitu kingine. Haufananishwi na kitu kingine.
Amen. Thank you. Last week, we heard a sermon preached by Pastor Rockford about falling in love with God. And when I was preparing my sermon on staying in love with God, something came up to my mind, and I said, falling in love might be easy, but staying in love might be challenging. The neighborhood where I grew up, the houses are built like they are so close to each other, to the extent if something is happening to our neighbors, we can easily be aware of what is happening. So we went to this wedding. As we know, on the wedding day, people celebrate, making beautiful promises and all that we know. And after a week, the couple that got married, we hear them shouting at night, fighting. The husband was like, "I'll kill you." The wife was like, "Kill me, I'm not gonna leave this house, kill me." Then we were like, "What is happening over there? They just got married last week." And this morning I'm going to share with you about staying in love with God. How many of us remember rushing to the altar to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and being in love with God, and our lives were committed to God. Then something hard happened. Or a series of hard things happened. Or maybe we went through a season of 5 or 10 years of just doubt and not knowing. This is what Thomas is going through. So in spite of whether the miracle show up, whether the answers we long for are immediate, we are called to remain steadfast. Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. To Thomas, the cross was not only what he had expected. When Jesus had proposed going to Bethany after the news of Lazarus' illness had come, Thomas' reaction had been, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And we may find that in John chapter 11, verse 16. Thomas never lacked any courage. He was the natural pessimist. There can never be any doubt that he loved Jesus. He loved him enough to be willing to go with him to Jerusalem and die with him, while other disciples were hesitant and afraid. When Jesus was crucified, Thomas was brokenhearted. He was all alone dealing with his own grief. Thomas had to face his own suffering, his own sorrow and doubt. So it happened that when Jesus came, Thomas was not there. And he said he would never believe that Jesus had risen from the dead until he had seen and handled the print of the nails in Jesus' hand. Another week collapsed, and Jesus came back again. This time, Thomas was there. And Jesus knew Thomas's heart. He repeated Thomas's own word and invited him to make the test he had demanded. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus Christ knows each and everyone's heart. He knows each and everyone's doubt and struggle. He knows our thought, being it good or bad. He knows all of that. But we see how Thomas' heart ran out in love and devotion. All he had to say was, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, you needed the eyes of sight to make you believe, but days will come when man will see with the eye of faith and believe." Now this morning, I want us to ask this question: how do I stay in love with God in the midst of doubt? How do I stay in love with God in the midst of challenges? How do I stay in a relationship with God in the midst of doubt that life brings? The disciples were in the house. They were holding together. They were afraid to be killed. The disciples were with Jesus. They saw Jesus performing miracles and wonders. They saw Jesus healing the sick. They saw Jesus feeding the hungry people. They saw Jesus setting people free. They saw Jesus walking on water. All of a sudden, everything collapsed and Jesus became the victim. Maybe the disciples would have been thinking, "Come on, Jesus, do something. Don't let yourself down. Don't let yourself be killed like that." As we know, when Jesus was at the cross, he was told, "If you are a son of God, save yourself." So it was so hard for the disciples, even harder for Thomas, to digest all of this. There are seasons where we are unsure, season where we are full of doubt, a season where we are going through hard time. But how do I stay in love with God through all of these challenges that life brings? Let me take you back a little bit in the Old Testament. We all know the story of Hannah, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We know that Hannah was a barren woman. And her barrenness made her look like a woman who had no value. And barren women in Africa are looked down upon in a society, even among family members. In some cultures, she's allowed even to leave her husband. So a barren woman seems to have no place in the community. But we see because her husband, Elkanah, who loved Hannah unconditionally, he loved her despite her inability to have a child. Even though Hannah had the best of everything that her husband could provide, she was consumed with sorrow and sadness and doubt and frustrations that she did not have a child. So material things did not seem to mean much to her. What meant most to her was to have a child. And we know how our relationships with God matters the most. But we see Hannah kept on going to the temple to pray. Praying is good for our spiritual growth, despite our doubt and struggle that life brings. Hannah expressed herself to God. She humbled herself. She poured out her heart to God with word and tears, even though the priest thought she was drunk and humiliated her. But she remained humbled. She chose to remain in a relationship with God despite of everything that she was going through. She kept on holding unto God's promises until a prayer has been answered. I want to point out something that stands clear before us. Thomas, he absolutely refused to say that he understood what he did not understand. Jesus knew Thomas' heart and he offered himself to him. And I want to remind you this morning that Jesus knows your heart. He knows your doubt. He knows your sorrows. And he is able to walk through and meet you in your doubt. The Bible says when they were in the room, Jesus appeared to them. The room was closed, and we know why, because they were afraid. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus does not ask anybody's opinion to bless you. He did not ask to the disciples to open the door for him to enter. He just walked through. And this morning, Jesus is able to walk through your doubt, through the walls of your doubt and long sicknesses, because Jesus is able. The first thing that he did when he entered the house, he said, "Peace be with you." And this morning, we need the peace of God in our lives. The question that I want to ask this morning is, when Jesus shows up, where will you be? When Jesus shows up, where will I be? I know that the doubt and struggle and challenges that life brings may shake our lives, may shake our faith, and sometimes we might even backslide. Sometimes when life gets hard, we choose to leave, and sometimes we feel like Jesus is not around us. We feel like God is not answering my prayers. We see Thomas, of course, he was very disappointed. He was so sad because the Jesus that he loved was crucified. As I mentioned earlier, he had to face his own doubt, sorrow, and suffering. So Thomas decided to disconnect himself from the Christian fellowship. So he chose loneliness rather than togetherness, because when Jesus came, Thomas was not there. So he missed out the first coming of Jesus. This morning, I want to remind you that the doubt that we have, our frustrations of life, may make us to miss out on meeting with Jesus. We sometimes miss a great deal when we disconnect, when we separate ourselves from God and from the Christian fellowship and try to be alone. I'm not saying that being alone is bad. No. All I'm saying is when we decide to be alone, still we need to associate God in our thinking. We need to associate God in our fellowship, because the scripture says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Things can happen to us within the fellowship of Christ, which will not happen when we are alone. When doubt and sorrow envelops us, we often tend to shut ourselves and refuse even to meet people. This is the very time when, in spite of our doubt and sorrow and challenges, we should seek the fellowship of Christ. Just like Hannah, who, despite her barrenness and doubt, she remained committed to prayer. She remained to showing up at the temple, to being faithful for spiritual practices. If we want to stay in love with God and overcome these challenges and doubt, we must be committed to God no matter what. When we took that decision of believing Jesus Christ, nobody said that this was going to be easy. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, nobody said that our path will be made smooth. The disciples did not know, just like we don't know, that following Jesus, they will end up in the upper room. The scripture promises that when we are having difficult times, when we are burdened, when we are perplexed, we can cast our doubt and sorrows unto God. The scripture does not say that we are without sin, we are without doubt or adversity. Amen. To stay in love with God, we need to know that challenges, doubt, difficulties, pain are human conditions. To stay in love with God does not eradicate doubt and sicknesses and adversities and sorrow and pain. There is no one who is exempted from all of these challenges as long as we're still in this flesh. If we think that we are fine, our neighbors are not fine. If we think that we are fine, our brothers and sisters in Christ are not fine. If we think that we are fine, somebody somewhere is suffering. And as children of God, as followers of Christ, we are going to be affected by those sufferings. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said, we are one body in Christ Jesus. The only reason that Jesus came is because of the human conditions. If we were fine, I don't think we would need Jesus. And Jesus' ministry was for the poor, the afflicted, the rejected, the sinners. But what did Jesus Christ bring? Jesus Christ did not only bring forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ did not only bring healing, but Jesus Christ brought hope. Hope that does not fail. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it read, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We can only stay in love with God if we only know that our trials and difficulties and doubt are working out for us something bigger than we think. We don't look at the things that appear, because the things that appear to us are subject to change. When we are sick, we are not focusing on our sicknesses, but we are hoping to be well. We are hoping to recover. Is that cannot be seen that we are holding all strong? Thomas was not like he did not love Christ. But there are very disturbing moments in his life where he could not just understand what happened. And any of us this morning can be there. We might not be there right now, but when we get something bigger than who we are, something more confusing, we are going to get to a place where Thomas was. There is no Christian who will not come to a place where they will start asking questions, if God be, why all of this is happening to me? So this morning, I want to remind you that God promises is what we hope for. Who is not waiting for the coming of Christ? Why are we in this beautiful sanctuary this morning if there is no hope in Christ? There is nobody here that has not suffered one thing or the other. The only reason that you came to church this morning, it is because of you have hope in Christ. Because of that hope, that faith, you came across to doubt, challenges, and frustrations, only to be here because you know that a word from God can take away your doubt. A word from God can take away your fears. A word from God can comfort you. A word from God can put a smile on your face. We stay in love with God by holding unto God's promises, by avoiding evil and do good and believing with the eye of faith. So this morning, looking at Thomas and Hannah, let us leave this place reminded to open with God about our doubt, our frustrations, our sorrows, because God knows. And also, let us be steadfast in the spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices that will keep us connected to God and active in our prayer life. Prayer does not only change things, it changes us as well. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you this morning for this opportunity that you have given unto us to worship you. God, we thank you that you called us to be honest with you about where we are, just like Thomas. All of us face doubt, all of us face sorrows and fear. But God, you told us that we are to pray and communicate with you. Help us to remain steadfast, because there is so much going on in the world. We need your mercy and grace upon us. We need to stay in love with you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, 2223. You'll find it in the Faith We Sing hymnal, 2223. They'll know we are Christians by our love.